Yeah, it's coming up to 4:10 now. Let's talk about Labour and the trade unions then. They're playing down suggestions that their links with each other could come to an end as the party searches for a new leader. Len McCluskey from Unite had said that the union could stop its funding of the party if it didn't elect what he called the correct leader. But today, he said that idea is nonsense. Also today, the party's acting leader, Harriet Harman, has said she wants to open Labour's leadership contest to the wider public.
We'll allow people who are not party members or who are not affiliated supporters through a trade union or Labour-linked organisation like the Fabian Society to have a vote. Anyone, providing they're on the electoral register, can become a registered supporter, can pay £3 and have a vote to decide our next leader. This is the first time a political party in this country has opened up its leadership contest in this way, and I think there will be a real appetite for it out there.
Well, Kevin Brennan is the Labour MP for Cardiff West. I spoke to him just before we came on air, and I began by asking him about that link between the unions and the Labour Party and whether he thought it should be kept.
I do. I think that, you know, the trade union movement founded the Labour Party. It's an integral part of the party, but it isn't the whole party. And there is this ludicrously exaggerated noise in the right-wing newspapers about the influence of the trade unions in the Labour Party. They're an important part of the Labour family, but the idea that trade unionism is the only thing that the Labour Party is about and that's the only people that the Labour Party should be representing is completely wrong. But the link with organisations who do things like they did when my mother, who was a dinner lady, got a hernia from lifting, you know, tables in the school hall and helped her with her employer. Of course the Labour Party should be linked with organisations, democratic organisations like that.
Does it damage a candidate, though, who is seen to be the favoured son or daughter of the unions? It damaged Mr Miliband, didn't it? And your favoured candidate, Andy Burnham, also seems to have that union endorsement.
Well, I think, as Andy said on the weekend, he's the unifying candidate. He's not a unions candidate. If people choose to support him, that's great, because he wants to build as broad a coalition, as unifying a coalition within the Labour Party as possible, and to take all different aspects of the party into account in building that coalition that's necessary. But Andy's certainly not someone who only sees one part of the party as being important, and he absolutely understands that it's necessary for the Labour Party to reach out to all voters from all walks of life.
And what is it that makes you think that Andy Burnham is the right person for this? He's been round the block a bit, hasn't he? You know, he was in the last government, he was in the cabinet, he's already lost one Labour leadership contest, he's hardly a fresh face.
I think he is a fresh face, although I agree with you, he's very experienced for such a young man. He's only 45, and it's surprising these days how we write people off before they've even reached what used to be described as middle age, I think. And I think Andy can bring that freshness and experience, and that's the, you know, winning combination that I think he has. I think perhaps he wasn't ready 5 years ago. I think the experience of being in opposition has been a good one for him to understand what's necessary, the arguments that it's necessary to make about the importance of the health service, about the importance of growing the economy and so on. And I think that he will emerge in this race to the public as a figure in his own right in a way that perhaps he hasn't done so before.
And final thought from you. Harriet Harman spoke earlier about the importance of involving the public in this leadership contest and about offering a vote to so-called registered supporters for a very small fee. I think £3 was the fee. Is that something that you would support? Should members of the public think about doing that to get a vote in this election?
Yes, I do. I think if you are someone who has voted Labour or is sympathetic towards the Labour Party and you'd, you know, wish the Labour Party well in the future and want to see us elect a leader that can build a broad level of support amongst the public, then register as a Labour supporter and get involved, because obviously it's vitally important that we pick someone who the public believe can be a good leader of the Labour Party, that can, if you like, poll well in opinion polls and drag our ratings upwards in a positive way. And to do that, I think having as wide a franchise as reasonably possible is a good thing to do in selecting your party leader.
But is it a tacit admission that the party can't get it right on its own?
Well, no. I think the previous system which we had was not a good system, because it divided the election of the leader into three parts, one for MPs and MEPs and AMs and so on, and one for members of the party and one for people who paid the affiliation. And I think that was a complex Byzantine system that the public really didn't understand. This is very simple. MPs don't get a special vote. We nominate the candidates for the ballot paper, but then it's up to party members and registered supporters of the party to pick the leader. And I hope many millions of people will participate in that decision. And if they do, it will give a greater mandate to our leader.
That was Kevin Brennan, the Labour MP for Cardiff West.